We're going to be back in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Now, right before Christmas came, we were kind of on the theme of God, of Jesus Christ's advice to the church of this generation, and I really believe that the letters that were given, they apply to today, and the verses that I'm focusing in on are just Jesus' advice for us. So here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2, if you would follow along with me in your scriptures, it says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." And let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you just guide us by your Spirit this morning, that we can focus in on your word and we can see what you'd have us to do. Here the verse says for us to be watchful and to look for those things and to strengthen those things that remain. Would you help us to see them? Would you help us to be watchful? Would you give us an understanding today of what's going on in our culture, what's going on in our churches, what's going on in our personal lives, so that we can be conformed better to your image and acknowledge you as the Creator, as God, the way that you want us to. Help us to live our life daily by grace through faith. Teach us, Lord, your ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here, I want you to think about something. This scripture says to be watchful. I don't know if you've been able to pay attention here lately, but the church today is not like it was 20 years ago. A lot of things are changing. A lot of things are being accepted. A lot of teachings that were held firm to the scriptures 50 years ago aren't that way anymore. There's kind of a new philosophy out there in how we approach religion. In fact, religion these days, even in the Christian circles, some will even deny that Jesus is the only way. And that's a violation of the scriptures. Because Jesus said, there is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's only one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry if other religions think that we are hold too strong of a stance on that. But let me tell you, your eternal destiny is at stake. And I want everybody to go. I want them to know that there is a way. But we've lost it. Churches haven't been preaching it like they should, because they weren't doing what this verse said. They haven't been watchful. And there's some things that have been going on that have been weakening in the churches. And you know how I know this? I've been in a lot of different churches over the past 20 years. Hundreds of churches. And you could tell that Christians who were once strong in the faith have been weakened by the philosophy of this world. And they have been told that, well, you've got to make the church more appealing to the outside. You got to make people feel comfortable that are coming in. You got to make sinners feel comfortable. That is not what my scriptures tell me. The scripture tells me that when you get around the presence of God, that holiness comes in and you see yourself the way that God sees you, as a vile person who deserves judgment and punishment. That's what the scriptures will teach you. The law will convict you. But there was somebody sent to be your intercessor, so that the whole weight of God's judgment would not fall down on top of you. He would stand as your advocate. He would stand as your propitiation. His name is Jesus. And he says, be watchful and strengthen those things that remain. This morning, I want to talk to you about some of those things that I think we need to be watching, because we're starting to lose them. Many churches have already lost it. And I want us to be watchful. And I want us as a church, especially as we go into 2018, that we strengthen these things that remain. We can't afford to lose them. If we lose them, we've lost our reason for being a church. We've lost our reason for being a Christian. So what are some of these things? The first one that we need to be aware of, that's what watchfulness is being aware. You know, when I was in the Air Force, they would often tell me, you need to be aware of your surroundings. Especially when you're out in public and you're wearing the uniform, you're a target. So you need to be aware of your surroundings. Somebody might want to kill you. They would teach us to go outside. If we're in a government vehicle, that we'd go outside. And before we get in that vehicle, we'd walk around it. We'd look underneath it. We'd look under all the tires. We'd look for any stray wires that might be hanging underneath the vehicle. Because there's places in this world that they wanted to kill me. And the military taught us to be watchful, to be aware, to look. And that's what I'm trying to do for you guys today. I want you to see some of these things. The first one, that the church needs to strengthen so that we don't lose it, is holding God's word in authority. Many churches have lost that. The next one is loss of fasting and prayer. Ooh, Brother Mitch, don't use that word fasting, especially in a Baptist church. I'm telling you that every book, almost every book of the Bible talks about fasting and prayer. And we don't do that very much. We wish it just said, eat and pray. We'd be glad with that. But it says you need to get in touch with what's going on in life to loose the chains of wickedness, Isaiah would tell us. Because they're taking you. Fasting and prayer. The loss of expecting God to change lives. There's been a teaching out there, just bring them in. We just want the numbers to be dunked in the water. We just want the numbers to fill the pew. We're not really expecting them to change. I'm telling you that Jesus wants you to change. He wants to take a sinful life and turn it into a life that's holy and acceptable and righteous before our Almighty God. And we've lost that teaching. Or maybe we hadn't completely lost it, but it's gotten weak. And we need to strengthen those things that remain. Another one is the loss of God's moral compass. That has degenerated in the church. You know how I know that? Because I've been associated with many youth groups. The youth groups look just like they do at the school. They're promiscuous. They use drugs. They think it's okay. It's not. Not according to the scriptures. It's not okay. And we've lost it. We've lost God's moral compass. We've lost values and virtues. When it gets lost from the church, you could tell by who becomes the leader of the state and of the president of the United States. That's how we could tell. What do those guys look like? They are our representatives, whether we like it or not. They represent us. Maybe not you specifically, but the culture. Who would you be willing to vote for? We've lost values. And virtue. We're like, man, I don't know. Who can I even vote for? They don't match anything that it stands for me. And it's not one person's fault. It's a whole. The church is backed away from it. And we've got to strengthen this. You know, maybe I can't control the churches around me. I might not even control this one, but I can make sure that this guy right here is on board. And I tell the truth from the scriptures, from Jesus Christ, how we're supposed to look at the scriptures, how we're supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, as Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 would tell us. And that just doesn't mean on what I do, but it also means what I do when I go to the voting booth and I circle in that little circle. That's the way they used to do it a long time ago. Now you push a button. Presenting myself as a living sacrifice tells me what I do with this finger when I push that button. because I want to put in the best people possible. But we've lost it. We've lost it in so many organizations, and we need to strengthen it. Loss of Christians feeling the urgency for the lost to be found. Man, I've been around so many Christians that they're like, well, we are the last generation. We just need to make sure that we are going to make it to heaven, and we're taking our families with us. That's not our job. Our job is what God's is, what Jesus' job was. What did He say? He said, I was sent to seek and to save that which was lost. He doesn't want us to think about me and mine. He wants me to think about them and they. He wants me to have the mind of Christ, who's out to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, that does mean your family. That does mean you, but not just you. Not just Bethany, but those on the outside. We're supposed to go get them, just like our song would teach. Bring them in. We're supposed to get them. Bring them in. Don't lose it. Be watchful. Be aware. Strengthen those things that remain. Let's look at the first one there, the authority of God's Word. You know, maybe you don't think that this is God's Word. It was just written by a bunch of men who just put a bunch of words on paper. Maybe you think it's got errors in it. Let me ask you something. Did God mess up when He made you? Did He mess up when He designed you? When He put your cells together? Did He mess up? I don't think He messed up. You're more complicated than this. Do you not think that God could take something that He made, that He designed, and say, I need that thing that I made and designed to write my words down into a book? Because I don't make mistakes. I'm God. And I can use men to pen my words. This is what 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17 will say. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's God's Word. That means Genesis chapter 1 is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. That means Jonah. God was telling the truth about Jonah. That means that God was telling the truth when He gets to the book of Revelation and He says, I'm coming back again. And I'm bringing back all those who have served Me and have bowed the knee before Me and have believed in Me. I'm coming back with those guys, with all My saints. I'm coming back. That part's true. The part about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, it's true. You might not like that. You got a problem with God, not with me. Because it is profitable for doctrine. You don't agree with it? Well, it's profitable for reproof. Get in line with what God is saying, because we have gotten weak as a body of believers. Not just here, but all across the country, we've lost our strength. And God wants us to regain it. Yeah, this is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You want to know how to be righteous? He's given it to you. Thou shalt not do quite a few things. But He also says thou shalt do quite a few things. Like not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Give and it shall be given unto you. Present your bodies. Be ye holy, for I am holy. There's a bunch of thou shalts. It's profitable. That the man of God, that includes women too, So wives, don't just start elbowing your husbands there. It applies to you too. That all of you may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, God's got what you need right here. The authority of God's scriptures. We need to strengthen it. Because as a nation, the church has gotten weak on it. There's been many out there who have started teaching, well, it contains God's Word, but it's not all God's Word. I'm telling you, every word is God-breathed, God-inspired. You could say, I don't believe it. You know, there's a bunch of atheists one day that's going to stand before God, and they're like, but God, I didn't believe in you. And God will say, well, I never believed in atheists. Because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Their belief system will change when they are presented before Jesus Christ and they have to give an account of themselves. If we disagree with what God is teaching, it's profitable for reproof and correction in righteousness. Another thing that we need to get back to is fasting and prayer. Can y'all not see that our nation is in trouble? We had hurricane after hurricane after hurricane, fire after fire after fire, terrorist attack after terrorist attack after terrorist attack. God's trying to get our attention. He cares about us. He's working all these things for our good. But see, you ever notice that, you know, I noticed this one day. You know, I asked my boys to do something, and they did it. I told them, I'll give you, I don't know, I can't remember, like $5 or something if they would do this chore or if they'd be good. And they did it, and I gave them the money, and I realized, and I saw it immediately. As soon as I gave them the money, I gave them the reward, they started being bad. I'm like, I just rewarded you for doing right. And then all of a sudden, as soon as they get their reward, they're done. I'm like, don't you want more reward? No, I already got my reward. There could be more to come. No. They're like, I held out as long as I could. Kids do that for Christmas, don't they? Christmas. Right after all the presents are opened up on Christmas morning, you're like, did we just have Christmas to talk about Jesus? Because it does not appear like it here. Everybody's fighting and squabbling, and the kids are acting up. They don't want to do their chores. That doesn't happen in anybody's house, does it? Yeah. You see, we've got to get back to it. God's trying to get our attention. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to add that aspect that the Old Testament added. And I'm going to say it. Maybe we need to fast a little bit sometimes. You know, there's different ways that you could do it. Isaiah has what fasting is all about. It's to loose the bands of wickedness. It's to turn them to righteous. It's to think about those who are less fortunate. That's what it's about. And we've lost that teaching. I don't know how many churches I've been in. That's not something that's taught. We like to skip over that part. But I'm gonna tell you that you can read the scriptures, and you'll find it in almost every single book of the Bible. And in the places where they were struggling the most, that's when they fasted and prayed the hardest. Think about Nehemiah. What did they do? They fasted and prayed. Think about Esther. What did she say? All the Jews are about to be annihilated. And what did she say? She called for a fast and prayer. She's like, you guys got to do this with me. I can't do it alone. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to start thinking cooperatively. When was the last time I did this? What's going on in my life? Is the wicked one trying to take over? Have you fasted and prayed? Have you really sought God's face? I don't know what that does to a body. I really don't. I just know it's taught. It's taught from the Scriptures. But we don't like to talk about it. Look at Joel. If y'all are familiar with the book of Joel, it is the revelation of the Old Testament. And it says, "Therefore now also, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." You see, in Joel, some bad things are going on. And he says, rend your heart and not your garments. You see, God's interested on what's going on the inside of you. And he says, that's what needs to be broken. That's what needs to get back to understanding who I am. And he says, and for some reason they understand the American logic. I feel bad, therefore I must cover that bad feeling with giving myself pleasure. Eating, drinking, making merry, and not refusing things in my life so that I may have a closer walk with Him. The kids sang that song, "In Christ Alone." But that's not how we live our life. It's in Christ plus Facebook, plus Twitter, plus internet, plus the movies, plus all this other stuff that makes me feel better. It's not Christ alone. That's our problem. And that's what fasting and prayer will do. It'll get you back where your mind and your eyes are looking to Christ alone and not to all this other junk that the devil has put in your life and has enslaved us to. Read the book of Joel. Get the whole context of that picture. Read Esther. Get the whole concept of what that will do for people who want to get back to knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what that teaches. And we've just about lost it. I was in a church where we were going to dedicate Sunday night to just a time of prayer. People quit coming. Because we're dedicating. This is supposed to be the house of prayer. We're supposed to pray more. We're supposed to pray together. Women are supposed to pray. Men are supposed to pray. Children are supposed to pray. We're all supposed to be praying. And people get upset when you're going to pray. Paul will say, pray without ceasing. You want to know why our country's falling apart? Why our states are falling apart? Christians aren't praying. They're not fasting. They're not praying. They're not getting back down on their knees. We got to return to God. 2018, make it your mission. Lord, I'm not losing these things in my life. I've let them slip too much. Strengthen those things. Don't let them get away. Renew that right relationship with Jesus this year. Make it a year that you serve Him more than you ever have before. Be watchful. Be aware. God also changes lives. He is not interested in that any should perish. We're not supposed to walk the same way as we used to. When you were lost and you were a sinner, yeah, you walked the way of the world. You acted like a lost person. You acted like a lost person. And I guess that's fine. You're a lost person. That's what lost people do. But whenever you knew about Jesus and you realized that He's your Savior and you said that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, things should change. Psalms chapter 52 will say, they fear not the Lord because they have no changes. Changes are supposed to be a part of a Christian's way of life. You're not supposed to look like the world. You're supposed to look different. You're supposed to be a peculiar people. You're called to holiness and righteousness. That should be what your goal is in your life. Yeah, maybe you're not perfect, but you may not be sinless. But let me tell you, you should sin less. You shouldn't be seeking to fulfill the desires and the lust of the flesh. You should be trying to get in touch and in communion with God. When you wake up in the morning, He should be the foremost in thought on your mind. God does change lives. What does it look like? Look at Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm not going to make you read all of Ephesians, but I just want you to look at a couple verses there in chapter 4. In verse 17, that verse will say, walk not as other Gentiles walk. Your walk is different. Your life is different. They walk in the vanity of their mind. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to walk with the mind of Christ. You're supposed to be conformed unto His image, not whatever image that you think that you're supposed to be. You're supposed to see, well, who's Jesus Christ? I want to look like Him. I desire Him to be revealed inside of me. I want my life to be a testimony. And whenever I get an opportunity, I want to tell somebody about what Jesus Christ has done for me and how He's changed my life. Don't lose it. Let it be strengthened inside of you. Verse 24 in Ephesians 4 will say, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. A lot of churches have lost that teaching right there. You're telling me, Brother Mitch, that I'm supposed to be a new creature? Yep. You're telling me that my new creature is created in righteousness and true holiness? Yep. But it doesn't look like it. Maybe you're not a new creature. Now, I know that may touch some feelings. You know, the Scripture's supposed to cause conviction. There is hope for the broken. And the hope is Jesus Christ. And He can take that which is old and He can make it new. It's not any problem for Jesus to take water and to turn it into wine. He could take this image that was created in sin and turn it into righteousness and holiness if I would give it to Him. The servants, whenever Jesus told what was commanded by Mary, when they ran out of wine, she came up to Jesus and said, they have no wine. And then she would look over to the servants and she would tell them, servants, whatever He tells you to do, do it. That's Mary's command. That's her advice. And the servants did it. And Jesus said, fill up. Fill up the containers with water and serve them to the master of the wedding. And they did exactly what Jesus did. And they took out water. They handed Him wine. Because Jesus could take what looks apparently useless. You know, water straight from the Jordan River sounds good and tasty, right? I'm sure it's full of vitamins and minerals and sand and dirt and probably tea. Yeah, it kind of looks like tea. I bet it doesn't taste like tea. And God could take that's really not good for much and turn it into something that can be celebrated at a wedding. God wants to do that to you. He can do that to you. So are there supposed to be changes? Absolutely. As much change as the water is to wine. That's how much He wants to change you. And we've lost it. We've lost that teaching. It's time for us to strengthen it. To be aware that it's being generalized, that it's being limited, and bring it back. It's okay to teach holiness. It's okay to teach righteousness. It's okay to teach that there's a change that happens in a person when they're born again. That old life can become new. Another thing is God's moral compass. This one hurts me so much because it affects my family. People that I grew up with, they grew up in church. Yet when they left the church building, they functioned just like the most heathen nation that there is. And they celebrated wickedness and unholiness. And it was even promoted by some of the members of their family. Oh yeah, to the 15-year-old old boy, get as many girlfriends as you want. That's what it's all about. That's a lie. That teaches unholiness. You're supposed to give yourself to God first. God's got somebody special for you. If they're special, you can wait. If they're not, well, that's what the devil says. He says just use people as immaterial. They're just objects. They'll even teach that they're worthless. That's what they'll teach to young girls that become pregnant. Oh, you can't deal with that problem in there. You need to get an abortion. You see, that's how our society deals with it. And it's wrong. And it's a lie. And that's murder. But our moral compass has been lost. And we have promoted it. Our schools have taught it. The counselor is even willing to help you find that clinic or help them find that clinic. They'll promote wicked movies. That was promoted to me when I was growing up. It's promoted to me now. I can't even turn on the TV without something vulgar coming up. And it's trying to teach you something. It's trying to teach me something. You want to know what it's trying to teach you? It's easy. They put it in your face. They want you to see it. It'll be the first thing that comes on whenever you're like, oh, this is an all right movie. The first scene, bam. You just picked up your water. You just picked up your fork. You think, I'm just going to relax and watch a movie. All of a sudden, junk is in your face. They're trying to teach you. Trying to desensitize you. The moral compass has been, the devil is trying to take it away, and he has done a good job. And he's done a good job to God's church to break down that moral compass. And it's time we strengthen it, that we get back to God's teaching and we renew our relationship with Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 will say, where there is no vision, is the people perished. That vision is talking about God's Word. Where God's Word is not taught, the people will perish. They will be self-destructive to their lives. They will seek sin. They will seek to save themselves. And this, you know what the Scripture teaches on that, don't you? That he who wants to save himself, he needs to lose himself for God's sake. And then it'll be saved. God's interested in your soul, not in your bank account. He's interested in how you deal with difficulties, not just taking difficulties away. You see, he's trying to present a solid foundation for you. It's the vision. Do you have a true vision? Is your foundation so solid that when things strike, are you ready to give up? Or do you say, I'm going to fall down and lay myself before Jesus Christ, knowing that maybe I'm worthless, but I'll, Jesus, would you take something that's so worthless and help it? Help me through this situation. And He will. He'll give you strength when you're weak. The Scripture will even say He'll lift you up with wings of eagles. They'll walk, they'll not grow weary. They'll run, and they'll not faint. Because your foundation is Jesus Christ. It's not on emotion. My foundation is Jesus Christ. It's not on my bank account. My foundation is Jesus Christ. It's not on my family. Though all forsake me, Jesus Christ is with me. I can count on Him. He's my foundation. And many have lost it. It's time to strengthen that. 2018, let that be strengthened in your life. Let it be strengthened in our church. Virtues and values. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and goodness, godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know, we're presented a lot of different values in life. God says, I want you to seek my values. When you seek God's values, it'll make you a virtuous person. We don't even know what virtue is anymore. It's not taught. You know, when I was in the Air Force, the core values, that's what they said, was integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all that we do. Here's God's values. Do mercy and justice and walk humbly before your God. That's His values. And when you're doing those things for God, He makes you a virtuous person. Someone that He can use, something that He can work with. Remember the story whenever when He healed the woman with the issue of blood? It says that virtue came from Jesus when she was healed. You see, God, whenever you have godliness inside of you, that means that virtue is in you. Virtue that can do something for your Creator. When He asks you, you don't hesitate, you do it. Because you've got His values. It will make you where you want godliness in your life. And here's the last one. Christians feeling the urgency for the lost to be found. That means that we are going to step out of our comfort zones often. That means that we study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means we look like Jesus did for those who are lost so that they may be found. Those who are hurting so that we can help. Is there an urgency? That means that's what's on your mind. You feel the need, just like Jesus did when He went to Samaria. He says, I must needs go to Samaria. What's in Samaria? A woman. Who's that woman? A woman who's been married 5 times and the man that she's living with, she's not married to him. That woman, someone who had her religion all mixed up. That woman, someone who thought that the world could provide for her needs, and all it did was bring her hurt and pain so that she had to go to the well all alone in the middle of the day. She had no friends. She had no comforter. But she met Him that day. Because He must needs go to Samaria to see that person. Because He cared about her. He wanted to give her something that she needed. She thought she needed water. And what Jesus offered her was living water. She thought she needed a man in her life. That's why she's had so many husbands and the guy there. But what she needed was a Savior. She thought she needed friends. Yeah, the whole city knew her. but she had somebody who stuck to her closer than her brother. His name was Jesus. He was the author and the finisher of her faith. And he was urgent to reach her, to go somewhere where Jews didn't go, to talk to a woman by himself, which men didn't do back then, because he saw her need. And he was urgent. He saw the urgency for her salvation. He saw her need. We need to feel that. John chapter 4 and verse 25. Jesus will tell his disciples, "Say not that there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest." That's basically saying, "Well, Brother Mitch, man, you know, it's cold outside. I don't think I can go talk to those people. It's too cold." Jesus would say, "You don't wait for it to warm up. You look out and you see the fields white unto harvest." But it may hurt. You know, I was thinking about this morning. My grandmother, she told me about when she used to pick cotton. I never picked cotton, not for a living. Every now and then I'd go out there, I'd make it to the edge of the row, but there's something on cotton that was pokey. The blossom. It would hurt. They would say it would even cause their hands to start to bleed when they picked it. It would hurt. And I started picturing those white cotton fields. They look so pretty. But if I'm going to go out there with my hands and pick it, it was going to hurt my feelings. But it couldn't be harvested back then if somebody didn't go do it. Someone has to go. And that's the way it is today. The fields are white unto harvest. Somebody must go. Yeah, it's not comfortable. But you must needs go to Samaria and feel the urgency of the lost. 20 years ago, Jonesboro, Arkansas, had about a 95% Christian people who said, "I'm a Christian." Now, 58%. That means almost half the people in Jonesboro say, "I am not a Christian." 20 years. What if that trend keeps going? 20 more years. What's it going to look like? Is it going to look like 30%? Will it drop that much more? Will we look like Europe? 10% of Europe, of England. It's because they lost the urgency to reach the lost. All these things that I talked about this morning, they weren't watchful. They lost it. We could change that. Starting with you, starting with me. When we feel the urgency, when we see these things going away, would anybody deny that these things have been lost in our congregations? Maybe they've been lost in ourselves. Maybe it hadn't been taught. You can't say that today. I want to strengthen it in you. I want to strengthen it in me. We can't afford another 20 years like we've experienced. We have to strengthen those things. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. "For he saith," this is almost like saying, "Thus saith the Lord." God's talking to you. Listen up. He wants to say something to you. He wants to reveal a truth. "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee." That means I've helped you. I've aided you. When you felt your worst, when you needed me the most, I was there. I helped. "Behold, now is the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today is the day. Tomorrow is January 1st, 2018. Have you been watchful through 2017? Have you seen the things that we would say were our heritage slipping away? Things that we've lost? Have you noticed those going further and further away? People have gone further and further away from the church. It's time to renew that. Today is the day. A salvation. Let God get you back to it. Let Him aid you. Let Him help you to see maybe how these things have gone missing in your life. If you remember here at Bethany, how these things have gone missing in our church. It's time that we strengthen it. It's time that we get back to applying God's standard to our life. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is specifically your day to be saved. Don't wait. Don't wait. Get back to knowing Jesus. I can show you from the Scripture how you can know you're saved. I'd be glad to. One more time. Don't lose holding the Word of God in authority. Don't lose fasting and prayer. Don't lose expecting God to change lives. Don't lose God's moral compass in your life. Don't lose values and virtue. Don't lose that feeling of urgency to seek and to save the lost. Don't lose these things. 2018, strengthen them in your life. As the pianist and the song leader would come, let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank You for this verse that tells us to be watchful and to strengthen those things that remain, that they're ready to die. Lord, don't let them die in us. Let us hold strong to You, to Your faith. Help us to hold strong to You, that You will guide us through these things. Help us to be better Christians this year, not just because we want to be better people, but because we want to know You more personally. Lord, would You give us grace? Would You give us faith? Help us to know mercy and justice and humility. Guide us, Lord, in Your ways. Talk to Your people right now. If there's anybody here who doesn't know You, let them be saved. If there's anybody here who's been struggling, Lord, would you help them? Comfort them? Lord, would You bless our church and help us to be the witnesses that we need to be and to feel the urgency and the need to reach out into this world. Guide us, Lord, in Your ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And help us to be the witnesses that we need to be